Hey, everybody, welcome back to PT Tech Talk Podcast. This is episode 61. And if you're looking for the physical therapy and technology intersection, you are in the right place. If this is your first time listening, first of all, thank you and welcome. Thanks a lot for joining us. And if you've listened to us before, go ahead and drop us a review on iTunes. And what that'll do, that'll surface up the podcast for others like you, for them to make it easier to find. And you can also go ahead and hit the subscribe and notification button on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. So these episodes are always posted on YouTube if you want to see us live and see us in action. And I'm Dave Kittle. I'm a physical therapist. I am the founder and CEO of Vinitial, currently working on a project with Andrew Virtson, as I mentioned in the last episode or two, about automating clinic data into Excel. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and shoot me an email, dave@vinitial.com. And as always, joined here by my co-host, Rob Vining. Rob is a physical therapist and the founder of PT Live. PT Live is a live chat that allows prospective patients to chat with a physical therapist and schedule an evaluation right inside the app. You can check out ptlive.me for more. And tonight we have two physical therapists, Scott Hebert, CEO of Strive Labs, and Ryan Kleps is COO. Some big news from them recently. They're going to get into that. And before we bring on Scott and Ryan, just want to say what's up to my co-host, Rob Vining. Rob, what's up, man?
Hey, things are going well, man. Looking forward to this episode. A lot of things going on at once, but thank you guys so much for coming on. It took 61 episodes. I promise it wasn't on purpose.
I'm going to take the blame on that. Yeah. I'm going to take 100% blame.
Right. My fault.
We've been really busy. It's been a scheduling conflict. We get it.
Super busy. Ryan and Scott, a little intro. Ryan, you first, and then Scott, a little background, and then we'll just go from there.
Sure. So I'm Ryan Kleps, one of the co-founders here of Strive, physical therapist. Funny, I'm not going to do too long of an intro because then Scott won't have one because we started at the same time and went through PT school, started this early on. We essentially have very similar bios at this point, but went to Quinnipiac University, started the company right then, and have been hacking at it ever since.
Nice. Yeah, Ryan is essentially my twin PT brother. And as he said, both met in college at Quinnipiac, and also a physical therapist and co-founder at Strive Labs. The one, I think, key defining differentiator between the two of us is that I had first beard and he had second beard. So, I mean, this is just an older beard than his. And that's just the important piece that I think everyone should really know. And if you're going to take away one thing from this tonight, it's just to remember that. First beard.
Highly debated, highly contested claim.
So before I knew you guys, you had a different company and you had a whole different vision before Strive Labs, which is kind of like what we want to talk about tonight. I'm probably just assuming like everyone knows by now, but I'm right. sure there's some that don't.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Dave. But no, unfortunately, we still have less than 1% of the market.
Yeah. So really, we've got a lot of cool things that are coming out. But fundamentally, I think what's most important is what we already have. And you know, that's sort of our Strive Hub platform. So we talked a little bit about our home exercise program and patient portal, and we still got that, right? That's still a component of our platform. It's no longer Theravid. It's a brand new platform. But really, again, when we refocused and we looked to try to drive revenue, what came out of that was a product called Strive Hub Reach. And what Strive Hub Reach is it's basically an automation engine. It allows physical therapy businesses to send the right message to the right patient at the right time automatically. What we do is we take the data that, you know, front desk people are popping in when they're scheduling patients and that therapists are putting in when they're documenting to patients. We pull it into our system and we let owners and executives set up rules within that system to send the right message, right patient, right time automatically. So it's everything from a welcome message before a patient comes in, letting them know who their therapist is and what location they're going to be at, let them download and complete their paperwork, you know, diagnostic specific education early in care, surveys to flag high-risk dropouts, review campaigns to improve your search engine optimization for people who love you, follow-up emails post-discharge to figure out if somebody needs your care again and get them back in for a new course of care. So the beauty of something like Reach is centralization, right? You know, when we work with 5, 10, 15 location practices, we know like 3 people in that practice getting Reach set up. So it's something an owner gets set up, and then all of a sudden it scales communication across their business, which provides a lot of value. And the cool thing is those variables we were looking to impact, you know, we're decreasing early patient dropout by 15, 20, 25% with our customers. And through our re-engagement and our improved search engine optimization, we're driving tons and tons of new evaluations for our customers as well. So we're able to track all that right in app and show the return on investment there. And that's my short pitch.
Nicely done. You know, I think what's also really satisfying for us is we're able to take all that tech that we built during the Theravid days while we basically acquired that company as well, and then rebuilt it all from scratch and built a platform. So we say, look, how can we develop a comprehensive patient engagement strategy that's valuable for owners, but also really helpful for clinicians and their patients? How do we build touch points for patients all throughout the continuum of care before, during, and after care? And how do we support and facilitate that in the most meaningful ways? And so we still have an awesome exercise prescription tool and this really immersive patient portal that all ties together with that Stripe Hub Reach product. So it really is a full 360 patient engagement platform.
Wow. Well, so hey, tell the audience, if they're not familiar with how you guys got started being physical therapists and becoming technology founders, where did you start and what was the impetus to start that?
Yeah, like all good things, it started after a couple beers one night in college. A friend of mine at the time was really into video, was a video production major. We're, you know, kind of sitting back and chatting. I'm talking about a lot of the problems in PT. I was working as an aide in the clinic, and I was using those old, index card HEP programs, right? Where you put them all on the scanner. And I was like, this is insanity. And I was like, yeah, I mean, we got to just take this and move it onto the cloud. I mean, this would be so simple. And, you know, you look around, you're like, someone's got to do it. And at the time, you know, people had tried it and done it somewhat okay, but no one had actually built an immersive experience for the patient. No one had kind of thought about that patient side of it first. So we said, like, why is everyone skirting this HIPAA issue? And like, why aren't people just going all in and building a tool that actually has a digital patient touch point? Why aren't we building some sort of digital therapeutic? 99% of the recovery process happens in the home. So how do we just expect for that relationship to be great? And so, you know, we started thinking about patient engagement when patient engagement really was a buzzword. I mean, that was a really important time. This was 2011, 2012, basically. So we were about to enter our last year of grad school at Quinnipiac, and at the time it was time for me to do a capstone project, and I was like, I don't want to do some research project on Genuvalgum. Instead, I would much rather do something that I can use. So I talked to the head of our program, Don Kowalski, and thank goodness for him. He was like, yeah, go build something, man. I was like, wait, I don't have to write a paper? It's like, no, just go build something cool. We'll do a non-traditional capstone. That sounds great.
That's an awesome professor, by the way. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an incredible, incredible guy. And so I was then like, I don't know anything about building software, and I don't have any money. So I found a friend of mine back home who thought it was a fun idea and was into investing. So he decided to throw me some cash and to try the thing out. And at the time I was like, Ryan, he's a smart kid. I knew him. We weren't all that close at the time, but I was like, he's a cute, be good guy to work with. So I was like, Ryan, you know, this could be kind of fun. Pitched it to him. And,
I was doing a capstone on Genuvalgum, man. I had to stick
with my head. Yeah. Like all good, you know, origin stories. He said no to me and was like, no, I don't want to work with you. So I was like, whatever. And I went and did it anyway. And then I think maybe a couple of weeks into me working on the project, he was like, hey, can I help?
Short-lived no.
Yeah, it was a very short-lived no. And basically Ryan just did two capstones. And before we knew it, we had cobbled together what was hands down the crappiest minimal viable product you have ever seen. It was this wonderful, horrible home exercise prescription tool called Theravid, very creative name, Theravid, therapy videos. And we managed to build something that just about everyone hated. and it was a wonderful experience because one, it was a blast to do. And two, we actually got people to try the thing out and we learned a lot. And so we said
what they hated. Yeah.
Yeah. They told us what they hated. we could talk all night about that. And so we went back and reiterated and asked my friend for a little bit more money, and he gave me a little bit more money, and we paid some college developers, and then before we knew it, we kind of had a second version, and it was better than the first. And when we started looking at the data, we realized patients were using this thing. They were using this thing at really high rates, like surprisingly high rates in certain instances, and therapists were using it, and they loved it. So we were like, maybe this is like more than just a fun capstone project. Like maybe this could be something more than that. Now, time-wise, this was right around the time we were graduating. So we were actually, I think, 4 weeks away from passing or having to take the board exams. And I remember probably one of my favorite startup moments is I looked at Ryan and Ryan looked at me and we went, wait a second, we haven't started studying for the board exams and they're in 4 weeks. We're going to fail. Like, we're not going to be PTs. So needless to say, Ryan went home and studied, and I spent maybe 3 more weeks working on the startup and then decided I should probably study too. Miraculously, we both passed our licensure exams, and so we are actually part of the PT club. But not surprisingly, we were pretty into the whole startup idea. So I think maybe a month or two after that, we managed to get accepted into an incubator up in Boston. And I was working a part-time job as PT at the time, and Ryan had just accepted a really excellent PT job and had to quit before his first day. And we packed our bags. We were living in Connecticut at the time, and we moved up to Boston. And that was the start of, I think, a really fun period for the company.
Nice. So Ryan, what was that whole experience for you? Did it take some arm twisting to go into the incubator, or were you all in like as soon as you started? How was that for you?
It was interesting because from the beginning, early Theravid days, like the clear delineation of where we were both going to go and our niche in the company, was it just started where I immediately was out working with customers trying to figure out what was next to get built, like what the problems were, how we can improve the product, trying to get people to actually buy it. I would go back to Scott, we would synthesize, and he would use that information to figure out how to actually build it. And then so from the beginning, it was, you know, we were both fully invested. We were going to healthcare conferences. We tracked down a guy who is not, at the time, he was not 25 year old with a beard. He was much older. He just got spun out of a large healthcare company. And he said, hey, if you guys get some cash, I'll come on as your CTO. And so when we applied to the accelerator, it was, dude, if we get into this thing, we are going. So as soon as we got in, we moved up, and it was me, Scott, and we dragged Jeff along with us. And we had a little three-person team in downtown Cambridge.
So when you guys were accepted into the incubator, it was with the Theravid. That was the startup. This was before Strive Labs.
Yeah, it was well before, a couple of years before Strive Labs, really. And we managed to convince Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Massachusetts somehow, who still to this day remain excellent partners of ours, that this home exercise prescription tool idea could work. And we had no paying customers, but we did have customers using it. And yeah, this was still all, we were an exercise prescription tool at the time.
We got in at the right time. It was this boon for healthcare accelerators, or just accelerators in general. They were everywhere, 2010 to 2013. And this happened to be a really early stage one. So they were looking for people in idea phase or a little bit beyond. And we were actually the only company out of the 10 that had a product with users. So we were a little bit ahead from the product side, and I really think that's the only reason we ended up getting it.
So you guys had some patients, you had some practices using it, and were getting feedback. You mentioned even in the pre-interview that they were kind of telling you what they hated and what they didn't like and all that. So what was the timeline between going through that incubator, leaving the incubator, going through some challenges and stumbling blocks with Theravid, and then kind of eventually pivoting and getting into the more of the marketing side with Strive Labs?
Sure. So essentially we got into HealthBox, moved to Boston, and our first goal was we wanted to get a massive pilot off the ground with at least 15, 20 clinics, different, not all from the same company, and have them test the product and get some validation there.
Was this with Theravid or was this with Strive Labs?
This was with Theravid.
Okay.
And so, you know, we were out, and what we found was our second version, therapists actually liked it a bit more. Patients liked it a bit more. And so we felt like we were in a good spot. We felt like we might have a product on our hands, and we did have a product on our hands. The problem was we didn't have a business on our hands, because what I found was therapists liked it, patients liked it, but owners said, who cares, right? They essentially said, awesome, man, my patients are logging into your thing. What does that mean for me? And we were like, well, if your patients are engaged, logically, they're going to come to more visits. And they were like, I'm not going to take that logical leap. You show me how this thing is making me money. Right. And so we couldn't prove that we were driving any revenue. So we said, all right, how do you drive revenue in physical therapy? Right. And so we went to this whiteboard and we drew out the revenue equation for physical therapy, and we still use it in every single one of our demos. X times Y times Z. How many patients do you have? How many visits do they come in for? What do you get paid, right? That's your equation. And we realized that Z variable, how much you get paid, everyone idealistically thinks that they're going to move that needle, and that's going to take a long time, right? You're going to have to somehow prove that you get patients better than surgeries in a more cost-efficient manner with data and go to insurance companies and get higher rates. That's a long tail play. But the other two variables, how many patients you got and how long they stay, they're modifiable. So how long patients stay, what was cool is we got our hands on a really big data set when we were in Boston. It was like, I want to say 50,000 patients across a wide geographical space, de-identified, of course, but it was all outpatient physical therapy practices. And what we were able to do was analyze the data and find that about 20% of patients dropped out of PT in the first three visits, which was massive, right? 70% of patients didn't complete their course of care. Wow. So we ran the cost analysis, you know, $150,000 per clinic per year, right? We were like, oh my God, there's something here, right? And we felt like an engagement platform could impact that, but we weren't able to kind of tie that thread, right? And then on the other end, we realized that patient acquisition was a huge component, right? How do they get patients? Every PT was, you know, reliant on their MD referrals, but they would say, you know, word of mouth is so important to me. We'd say, great, how do you do word of mouth? And they're like, I treat my patients, I get them better, and then I cross my fingers and I pray to God something happens, right? And so really what we realized what we were doing while we were trying to sell Therabid was we were going through a customer discovery process to understand bigger problems that these owners were having. And I'll kind of let Scott start talking, because there was a company, and you don't have to go down the Avato path, Scott, but there was a company called Avato that was doing patient relationship management outside of PT. We were sort of looking at that as a niche, and we realized that there was a space to be filled in PT. And I'll kind of pass off to Scott and let him keep hacking away there.
Yeah, no, it was actually really cool. Back last year at Graham Sessions, Dave Chase, who is the founder of Avato. Have you had Dave on? I know he's doing Karen Litzy's podcast.
We haven't. We should, though.
Yeah, you should contact him. He's an awesome guy. He's doing some really fun projects right now. But yeah, he founded a company called Avato, and it was, you know, there's been more. I mean, Salesforce has tried to do PRM. Oracle's tried it. So and they're doing it. So people have done it before, but we kind of said, all right, if we're focused on helping acquire patients and focusing on helping retain patients, you know, how do we do that effectively? And how do we help practices do that at scale? And it's going to have to be more than an HEP company. And so, you know, when you look at that, right, like that has to be something bigger. And so that's kind of the pathway that we went down. We said, we're going to stop development on Therabid, right? We're going to stop development on the HEP. And we're going to do something terrifying, and that's, we're not going to stop selling it too, which means we're going to run out of money. But I think we can come up with a game plan, right, so that we can make this thing fly. And what we did, and this is something that we'll suggest to any startup, somebody who's thinking about starting this company, or who's looking to even if it's, you know, regardless of industry, if you're looking to build a new business, the thing that you should do, right, is go get people to pay you money before you've built anything.
Yeah, and, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And so what we did is we kind of mocked up what we thought this thing could be. We kind of built a Photoshop click through and went out, and we managed to sell our first 10 customers a product when the product really hadn't been built yet. And we told them that. We weren't lying to them. But I mean, we said, hey, this thing's going to be built, and here's what we want to sell it for. And they said, yeah, I'd pay you for that if you built that. And so we managed to kind of dump.
No, we said, here's the contract. Sign the contract. That's when we build it, you'll pay for it.
So. Did all 10 of those previously use Therabid, or were like these owners you already had relationships with them?
No. Some of them were, but some of them were Therabid users. None of them were Therabid paid users, so some were in the pilot. And some of them, a good portion, were people who were like, I'm not interested in piloting Therabid because that doesn't excite me. But we built a relationship enough where we said, cool, 6 months later, can I come in and talk to you about something else? Yeah. And they were like, now this is a little bit more my speed, right? And they jumped aboard. So not everyone was a Therabid user. And none of them, only one of them at the time was a paid Therabid user, actually.
Yeah, so then we went down that crazy path, right? We basically burned the bank account down to, it was $16, I think we got it as low too. Yeah. $16. But what we realized while going down that pathway was we had a pathway to profitability. We could actually get this thing to the point where we could be self-sustaining. And that's sort of a soapbox now that I think we're huge advocates of, is that the bootstrap movement is such a empowering, such an awesome opportunity. And so we chose to go that path. We said, we're not going to raise another dollar. And we're not going to raise another dollar until we know definitively that this is a product that we're going to make either really, really big or that we have to. Right. And so that was kind of the game plan, right? That was where we went next. And slowly but surely, customer after customer after customer, we just kept adding on and slowly growing as we did that. And managed to sort of make it to the point now where we're able to build, I think, a relatively successful business in the therapy space. I think it happened just from listening to customers, understanding what was valuable for them, and ultimately getting to the point that we could build something really cool that helped our core customer.
So with Theravid kind of dying off there and Strive Labs becoming a real thing, did it take you guys a while for other software that you wanted to integrate with? Was there a certain point that you hit where you're like, look, we have customers, let us integrate with you? How did that go down?
Yeah. So integrations is a funny challenge that, is a tough nut to crack for just about any software company, especially in healthcare. And unfortunately, a lot of companies that do have the data, they unfortunately, they create these silos, right? Because by making data hard to get in or get out, it makes people more likely to stick with the system. And I think that's borderline criminal. And I think that is completely against all the best practices that have made the internet wonderful and pushed advancement and innovation. And quite frankly, if you want to ask the reason number one why I think the majority of EMR companies are horrible and they have crummy products, it's because they have never tried to innovate and integrate, right? And so you have a lot of big problems because of that. So we took a different approach. We said, look, we're never going to get these guys to pay attention to us because we are just too small. So we said, let's find the Mudgate, right? In the Game of Thrones parlance, let's find the small way in. And that's what we did. We figured out there were some nice Excel exports for all of these EMR providers that could get some degree of demographic data out of the system. Nice. And we made our system really, really flexible and able to consume all that data in a number of really cool ways. And before you knew it, we had gone a different route, right? Where we had built a pseudo integration, an integration that was viable enough that we were able to grow customer bases for each of these EMR companies. And it turns out customers can make integrations happen. And so we kind of brute forced our way into a lot of integrations, honestly. And we've got a lot of great partners now. And so we can laugh and have these conversations about how that went down. But the truth is, most companies in healthcare will tell you a similar story in terms of how they got to that point. So we're lucky enough now to support integrations with 15 different EMR systems. And we've got some really, really awesome, awesome partners that we still support even, post the acquisition now. So it's been pretty great.
Yeah. So with, I think I was on a podcast a few weeks ago and we were talking about how many EMR systems there actually are. 1,100.
Yeah.
1,100, right?
Like in all of healthcare, you mean?
Yeah, in all of healthcare, 1,100 different EMRs. And it sprung about mainly because there was no standard, just like on the podcast, I was talking about how all the main computer companies came together back in 94, 95 and made USB a standard, right? But the High Tech Act made everybody create and get on an EMR with zero standards.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the thing that has just been crushing to the pie in the sky use of tossing information here over to this EMR and having it talk. That's just not a thing. Is that something that, Ryan, when you were selling into different companies, did you have people ask you all the time with early Strive Labs, when are you going to integrate into X, Y, or Z? When is that going to happen?
Yeah. And my answer was, hopefully soon. And it was just, hey, does your EMR have the ability to pull a spreadsheet? Right. That was always the first question. And, they would say yes or no. And if it was yes, I had this little sheet that showed what fields we absolutely needed, what fields we sort of needed, and what fields were optional. And you know, for the most part, we were able to get the data we needed. And, you know, we were doing some relatively complex things on the way of, in the way of automation, right? Messaging automation and those sorts of things. So the raw data in and of itself wasn't quite enough. And it forced us to be really, thoughtful about the rules that we put on our back end to make this raw data coming from an Excel file actually be usable in automation. So what it ended up doing by taking this sort of rudimentary integration type, which is just a flat Excel file, pulling it into our system, it made us build up quite a bit of intellectual property in terms of how we dealt with that information, which allowed us to understand at a deeper level what EMR data looked like so we could drive automation for our customers in a really meaningful way. So the integrations in and of themselves from the beginning probably would have been great, but getting not crummy data, but getting sometimes unreliable data and weird data forced us to be thoughtful about how we used it and challenged us to drive that automation in a way that I think makes us better now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're really big on talking to startups in healthcare about trying to find these pathways because, you know, for us, again, quite frankly, we'll talk about more about this later, but we're just huge proponents of an open ecosystem. And fortunately, we're lucky enough now to be part of a company that believes in that as well. That's a big reason why we went down the road we did. And so, you know, we're trying to bang the drum to say, hey guys, we need to learn how to talk together and build standards when standards need to be met, but at a you know, at a minimum, just being open to innovation and collaboration. And, you know, that's the change that we're hoping to try to continue to drive across the industry.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And since you, you know, Scott, you mentioned a couple of times, I just want to say that I'm so happy for you guys. You Strive Labs, the company, you guys were acquired by WebPT recently. And I just wanted to stop and just really quickly say, I really appreciate all the support you've helped me with, whether it's through emails and intros or stopping by our booth and talking at conferences. So really, really mean it when I say that this could not have happened to any better founders and physical therapists than I know. So congratulations.
Well, thank you, Dave. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, at least take a moment here to sort of speak to that and that choice. Cause I know we've got a lot of customers when we've talked to all our customers about this too, but maybe even some prospective customers or people who might be watching the podcast saying, why the heck did you guys do that? And so, you know, as we mentioned, we kind of made a choice a while back, never to raise any more money. And we were doing really well. And we were actually getting to the point where we realized that mantra was actually slowing us down a bit. And there was opportunities where we could put fuel in the fire, and our decision to continue to bootstrap may have been actually slowing us down rather than speeding us up. So we went out to raise some money, and along the way, believe it or not, we found a partner of ours who came up with a really creative solution that took it in a different direction, and honestly allowed us to continue to have the autonomy and the flexibility. We like to say now we're a WebPT company, but Strive Labs is still you know, got a big presence in Boston and a team that's outside of the confines of Phoenix where WebPT is located. And the beauty of that is, again, it's WebPT's real belief in this building this open ecosystem. And so they've been incredibly supportive to allow us to continue to work with all the other EMRs throughout the industry and, you know, continue to innovate and collaborate with them. And, you know, it is just so refreshing to see a company say, screw these silos, right? We want to push advancement. We want to push the PT industry forward. And we know that, look, even if they don't end up being customers of our EMR, we want to make sure they're using tools like Strive. And so why the heck would we ever try to make this thing an exclusive? So, you know, it's been just such a cool opportunity, and just kudos to Heidi and Nancy and the entire WebPT team for what they've built. And we're so lucky to be a part of that.
Shout out Kevin Burdick.
Shout out always Kevin Burdick. Have you had Kevin Burdick on the podcast?
Jake Nero.
No, but I think
Kevin. Should we get Kevin? What would Kevin cover if we brought him on here? What would he cover? Partnership.
Kevin, tiny dancer.
Singing, I know he's got an incredible voice.
Yeah, he'd cover a wide variety of show tunes.
yeah. Kevin also founded and exited from a company.
I didn't know that.
He's got some more stories.
Guy's got a story. I mean, he did well enough that he was able to just go be a touring musician for a couple of years.
That's great.
So believe it or not, yeah, he's a character. So shout out to Kevin Burdick.
Wow. Well, so hey, Ryan, so if there is a prospective customer listening right now and is interested in hearing more about Strive Labs, maybe they heard about you guys before. I know in the pre-interview you guys mentioned about some potential updates and an app coming out. So what are some things that you can maybe tell other owners and physical therapists that are listening about your future plans moving forward?
Yeah. So again, obviously, when Scott and I started, we were so passionate about the home exercise program, the digital therapeutic, and it's always been in the back of our mind to circle back to it once we kind of got the financial stability to do so. And so, you know, our home exercise program is really robust now. And what we're also doing on the patient side is, it used to be the patient had to log in, you know, via a web browser to view everything, whether it be on phone, tablet, or desktop. And that web browser access still exists, but we're releasing a Generation 1 mobile app for iOS and Android that patients can download, get into, and, you know, to start, do their home exercise programs, communicate securely with their therapist between visits. But we're also going to be layering in some really cool functionality into that app as we move forward. And the beauty is with that engagement engine behind it, driving patients back to the app and getting them to take those key actions that are going to drive engagement. We sort of now have that all in one that we've been driving towards.
Nice.
Awesome. So if there's anyone listening right now, Ryan and Scott, what's the best way for any physical therapist or owner or anyone that's interested in reaching out to you guys? What's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah. So we're really personal people. So my email is scott@strivelabs.com. Ryan's is ryan@strivelabs.com. If you want to, you know, just mention the fact that this was the first beard and that he had the second beard, you can email us directly. That's fine.
If you're looking at the YouTube, I will have something on YouTube right now.
Yep. And, or you can just reach the team in general at hello@strivelabs.com. We have an awesome, awesome team in Boston that would love to help you out. If you're interested in finding more on the web, you can go to strivelabs.com, or if you want to look at the product specifically, strivehub.com. And like Ryan mentioned, we've got apps available on both Android and iOS. It is the Strive Hub app. So feel free to check that out and download it, play around.
And the sales guy in me is going to say, let's be a little bit more efficient. If you want a demo, send an email to sales@strivelabs.com and we will get a demo scheduled with you ASAP.
Awesome. Well, for Rob and I here at PT Tech Talk episode 61, everyone, thank you so much for your time and your attention. Ryan and Scott, thank you so much for joining in. And we promise it won't be another 61 episode until we have you guys back on.
Thank good.
You. Sounds good, man. Thanks for
All
having
right,
us.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Perfect. All right.